the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
So how do you build a tribe and a community and profit from it? Joining us to elaborate on that is our guest, Vincent Dignan. He's the author of Secret Sauce and the founder of Magnific. Vincent, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Good to be here.
All right, so answer that question for us. Dumb it down. How do we take a tribe and a community, build it, and then more importantly than that, right, profit from it?
So the common knowledge is give, 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 then take. So it used to be that you could write blog posts and then eventually ask for things. I think the age of the blog is dead. It used to be that you could get traffic from Facebook, Twitter, and Google fairly easily. No one logs into Twitter anymore. It's dying. Facebook is continually nerfing page posts, and Google is harder than ever to get to the top of. So that begs the question, where do your blog posts go? And I really think you should copy and paste your entire blog post as your Facebook status update. Your personal Facebook should be your professional Facebook, into other people's groups where relevant, and create your own community on Facebook. I really think this is the number one opportunity for people building their own tribe right now. So you start by inviting all of your friends that are relevant into the group. And I would do the group with a partner, so you have two people.
Does Facebook not limit group posts? Like, for example, if I have a Facebook fan page for somebody who doesn't know, say I've got 100,000, to keep a simple number, I've got 100,000 likes / followers on my Facebook fan page, not my friend page. And if I post something, Facebook limits it to like 10% of those 100,000 actually are going to see it.
Yeah.
Unless I pay for my followers, which is so stupid. I have to pay for the people that are already following me. But so my question is, do they not do that in a Facebook private group?
No, they nerf you on pages because the whole business model is to get you to pay.
It's to get you to pay for boosting posts, which can be a very effective strategy and tactic if you do it properly. But so that was my question, is they don't do it in a private group, which is the key.
Right now in groups, you can't even pay to boost posts. So there's no way of doing that.
In groups, you can't. But so it is reaching 100% of the audience that happens to be there at the right time.
It reaches a huge chunk of it. Engagement is really good in groups. Plus, with a business page, you post something, what can people really do? They can comment on it, they can like it, share it, that's it. With a community, you do a good post, people start discussing it, then other people do good posts. So if you have good community management, then you can grow that group in the right way, and then it's self-perpetuating.
So should I take my content on my fan page
and
go into a group? So I've got content on a fan page that I'm boosting. Should I go into these 30 private groups that people have invited me into, which have 500,000 people in them across all 30 of them? And should I go in all 30 of those and share my fan page in there so I get more likes, comments, and shares, or at least I get more views that carry over onto the video? If it's great content.
Assuming it's great content, I would copy and paste the text in.
But don't share the video, just copy and paste the text as a separate post?
Yeah, you can put the video in as a new post.
What about comment stacking and view stacking, though, by carrying it over into other communities?
Facebook will nerf you if you're externally linking. I think if you're internally linking.
So I uploaded a video natively into Facebook.
And you can share it to a group.
I uploaded a video natively into my fan page, so it's native, it's not an external link. And then I'm boosting that to a targeted audience. And then because the views carry over, if I share it across 30 communities, I could get an extra 20, 30, 40, 50,000 views that stack on the video. And the likes and the comments won't stack unless they go to the actual video, but the views would stack.
Exactly.
Okay, and if it's good content, you're saying that's a strategy I could copy?
Yeah, but all groups need good content. Okay. And if you're starting at zero, if you had a page, you would have to pay to grow it. Mm. Now, if you invite someone to like your page, they can say yes or no if they even see it. You invite someone into a group, they're in it by default. They have to opt out.
Yeah.
So you and your co-founder both invite 600 people on the first day. You know, 10% or so will opt out straight away. But then that group has 1,000 people in it.
So are these your friends, or are you just straight up inviting?
Start with the friends.
Start with your friends, and then from there, do you just go and start randomly friending people into the groups?
Not necessarily. You can invite people who you aren't friends on Facebook via email one by one. It's a very slow process. But it's more the case of you do giveaways in the group. So we've got an ebook on how to do cold selling on LinkedIn. Invite 15 friends and we will send you it, and then click done. So it grows itself and people only invite in relevant people.
So the groups is a strategy that you've really capitalized on? So is this Facebook group specifically?
So me and my co-founder of the group, Charlie, so he does copy, I do traffic. The group's called Traffic and Copy. It's 3 weeks old, 2,500 people in the group. Every single post has 4 or 5 comments, which is really good for Facebook groups.
Yeah.
And now we have an asset when we roll out our next webinar, our next book. As the admins in the group, we're going to have brilliant page rank in that group. As the admins in the group, you can also send posts via Buffer or Hootsuite. So on a Sunday night, I have all my posts lined up. So I have a super engaged community in the traffic and copy niche. So it's an amazing free tool. People are saying it could even replace a lot of cold calling and cold emailing.
Just having private groups?
Yeah, just having a private group. So there's people like Cult of Copy.
So you're bringing them in with the intention of adding massive value by nurturing the majority of those leads. I forgot the exact scale, but I think it's pretty accurate that 2 to 3% of people in any target niche are ready to buy whatever you're offering now. Then 17 to 20% are ready to buy in the next 60 to 90 to 120 days. Those are what we have a nurturing funnel for.
Yeah.
And then the other 90% approximately, or actually no, 80% approximately, are ready to buy sometime in the next year.
Yeah.
This is whether it's a car, a house, shoes, whatever, a brand new coat. People are ready to buy in that type of a model. So you want to sell to the 2 to 3% in your community.
Yeah.
And then you want to also have the community as a whole, which is nurturing the other 80%, right?
So a great model is the Cult of Copy. So brilliant posts on Copy, brilliant Facebook group. He makes $300,000 from that. Once a month, he does a webinar, and it's $100 to watch it live, and you can ask questions live. Or if you don't buy it live, it's $200 to buy the webinar afterwards.
I mean, it sounds like you're saying for the content, but also watching how he strategically and elegantly goes through the process of...
Okay. Yeah, so when I think
you're doing
what
it from a different
next.
Perspective. Yeah. You paid $99 to infiltrate and be able to model what he's doing.
I saw Tucker Max speak at South by Southwest. His talk was selling information is a dead business model. Because as soon as you do that, all the other consultants can buy your stuff and sell your information.
Yeah.
But there's always, the market's so big, it doesn't
matter. Everybody's going to preach something else, right? Somebody else will say information is the new gold. So somebody's, everybody's saying something different, which is why you have to be so weary of where you hear things from. People will come in here and be like, webinars are dead. And then another guy's saying, webinars are the key to my success.
Yeah.
You know? Social media is dead. You know, direct mail's back. And it's like, everyone's saying something. At the end of the day, back to what we're talking about, you need to test.
Yeah,
but I love on the subject right now of building a community, a tribe, and how to profit from it. We're diving in on something that not a lot of people are capitalizing on.
Yeah,
private Facebook groups. I mean,
Slack
odds
groups
are
as well.
Slack groups as well. Yeah. Odds are someone listening right now is on Facebook.
Yeah,
and they have a business or they're aspiring to have a business. They should be joining all these communities. So, what is the practical way for them to actually get into these communities? Do they search it online? Do they search in Facebook? Do they ask for an invitation? Walk us through that.
So, do a Facebook search and then click groups and then join all the groups in your niche with over 800 members. And then click on the admins of those groups because for some reason, admins tend to be in lots of groups. Click on their personal profiles. Most people have their groups public and then you'll find more groups. So you will not find all the groups just by search. You need to go through other people's profiles to get it. And look at your friends who are the most influential. Click on their personal profiles and go into their groups. Okay. And you'll find more that way. My best groups, Coffee with Dan, Entrepreneur Lifestyle, 50,000 members, Cult of Copy.
I'm in like all these groups. People have invited me. I'm literally in like 100 groups and I don't even check. But now I'm going to start capitalizing on this because I just realized I was like, I probably have over 500,000 to 1 million people in groups that I've been invited in and I haven't even capitalized on. So Vincent, I appreciate you, brother, because you're helping me out right now just even interviewing you. Founder of Magnific and author of Secret Sauce, Vincent Dignan is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're talking about how to build a tribe and a community and more importantly, profit from it. We've gone through some very practical steps. Most importantly, I think the one we've talked about just hammered in is going on Facebook and Slack and creating private groups or getting invited into private groups, putting great content on there, and then of course with the intention of building a tribe and a community yourself, and then being able to profit from it by elegantly transferring people over to your landing page, your offer, or things like that. So let's talk about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part we haven't hammered in yet. So on our second half here, what does the process look like? Now I'm in this private community.
Yep.
I've posted some great content, but how do I elegantly and strategically pull people from the community to buying?
Could we anchor it around the launch of something?
Let's do that, because nowadays launches are such a big trend, right? Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to launch my book, I'm going to launch my webinar, my video series. So let's dive into launches.
Okay, so use queuat.com or Matra app. They both have a viral queuing system. If you remember Mailbox, you got into like the queue at 15,000 of place, and if you invited your friends, you go up. So with Matra app or QAT, you, all of your community, you're now going to say, okay, I have a book coming up or my new webinar or whatever it is you're launching. Go to this landing page and sign up, and they put you in 500 of place. To move further up the queue, share this on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, invite your friends by email.
So always have a call to action. That's the key.
At the top of the list, you're going to have free consultancy time, free webinars, free free personal blog post will write about your company.
So free value, value, value. Okay.
If they share it with their friends and move further up the queue. And when this way, you get them to do the work of adding their friends in. So you only need a fairly small community to activate into something.
Vincent, it's been a pleasure, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Hey, people at my friend's company got blackmail emails.
Yeah, it's a popular type of spear phishing attack.
Wow, that sounds serious.
It is. Scammers claim to have compromising information, like a video, and threaten to share it with their contact list, unless the victim pays a ransom.
What if they target someone at our company?
We're secured. Barracuda Sentinel uses artificial intelligence to block spear phishing attacks, including blackmail emails.
Well, that's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Have you heard what President Trump said recently?
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too. I like it too.
Now you can watch Newsmax TV and get the truth about Trump from Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, and more. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in 70 million homes. Find Newsmax on DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, and more systems. See Newsmax TV today. It's real news for real people.
Freedom doesn't...
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. And joining me today is Brian Liu, the chairman and co-founder of LegalZoom. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Just people that maybe somehow don't know what LegalZoom is, give us a little background. What is LegalZoom?
So LegalZoom is the modern way to get legal help. You can start corporations, you can get legal documents, you can find a great attorney. That's what LegalZoom's all about.
So when we have people come on the show, a lot of the times I see that they started a business out of a desire and a need to solve a problem in their own life.
Right.
Was this the case for you, or how did you end up coming up with LegalZoom?
Well, you know, it wasn't a need for myself. It was a need for all my friends and family. So when I graduated law school, everybody came out of the woodwork. They were like, Brian, you know, could you help me with X? Could you help me with Y? My dad especially, I mean, my mom had been begging him for years to get a will, and he wouldn't do it because he was a little cheap, I guess I could say that. And he said, wait until Brian graduates from law school. He'll be able to do it for free. So what I realized is that people really needed help with these types of pretty common legal matters that people need help with every day, but they didn't know who to turn to. And even if they could afford, like the rates lawyers are charging $400 an hour, they didn't want to spend that type of money.
What's been the hardest part about starting LegalZoom? There's a lot of things that are difficult when starting any business, but I'm curious, for LegalZoom, what was the hardest part?
Jeez, the hardest part was really convincing people that it was going to be larger than a, you know, nice lifestyle business. Because when we started, I remember making all these pitches to venture capitalists and other investors, and their response was, yeah, that's nice. I mean, maybe you guys can make a good living doing this, but I just don't see how big it can be.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
So they missed the boat on that.
they actually did, yes.
So what is the key to raising money from your perspective, having been successful at it? Can you disclose how much money you guys have raised?
You know, we...
Can you hint at it?
I can tell you. We raised on our first friends and family round, $333,500.
Wow. You needed that 500, right?
Oh, that 500 came from a good friend. And it was like, you know, he was like, I want to support you. And how desperate we were, we took the 500. That's how desperate we were.
So
aside from raising money from friends and family, because I think there's maybe an advantage there, obviously. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ultimately end up raising money from VCs, private equity, anything
like
that?
We did later. I mean, I saw some other friends who started companies. I mean, this was a while ago. This is ancient history now. But I mean, it was a situation where, you know, anything that had a .com on it, people were getting millions and millions of dollars. We were just a few months late to the game because when we went out and raised, it was like it had just begun collapsing. Mm. And so we didn't get the millions of dollars. And I think it was actually really good for us because we didn't go out and spend, you know, money on things that weren't important. You know, stupid things. People were throwing in, they were throwing the most lavish parties I've ever imagined. And I had a good time going to them, but I don't think it helped their business any.
Yeah, definitely not. What has been the key to LegalZoom's success? I'm curious. Was it sales, marketing? Was it the culture? Was it you? Was it great partners? What was it?
I think,
was it that $500 you raised in the beginning?
Yeah. I think that the key was for us, we knew that we needed to make something work and we needed to have real revenues immediately. And so we really had a focus on making the business work and making sure that we were helping the consumers from the very start. You know, we started with an area where we knew that we could go and create a successful business. We had visions of how we could expand it in the future. But I think, you know, before creating everything all at once, we kind of went, you know, piecemeal and like step by step and said, okay, let's get this done first. Now let's go to the next step and then let's go to that next step. And that's, I think that really helped us.
Do you think that's practical advice that would work for a lot of people starting their businesses?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because okay. I mean, everybody has these visions of where they want to go. And I think, you know, any good business, you have to have that. That's a vision. But how to get there and structuring it and organizing it, that's, you know, for us, it was based on necessity. We didn't have the money. Yeah. And I'm afraid that if we did raise the money, we would have done what everybody else was telling us, you know, hire 20 people, build it, they'll come. Because that's what people were saying at the time, you know, full page ads in the Wall Street Journal.
So LegalZoom's obviously hit a pinnacle of success right now. I think that I want to say everybody should know what LegalZoom is if they don't, but for the sake of it, LegalZoom is extremely successful. A lot of people know and are using your services, including myself.
Oh, great.
For one of my businesses. But take me back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. When did you make the decision to ultimately become an entrepreneur? Was it right out of college? Did you not go to college? You went to law school, so obviously you did. But you know, when was the light bulb moment? Because most people don't go to law school with the intention of becoming an entrepreneur. That's not the common case. Most people are recovering attorneys.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a funny story here, which is, this I don't think I've told anybody.
Lay it down, Brian.
When I was like probably in junior high school, I remember going in Taiwan. I was at this park where there was a fortune teller. And at that time, it was like, okay, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with my life? You know, I thought I was going to be a doctor or something. And then the other guy's going, no, you're going to be a business person. I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? And so,
so they knew.
In a weird way, that always stuck in the back of my mind. And so when I was going through law school, one thing I knew is I wasn't going to be a practicing lawyer. I mean, I could see myself. I could see, you know, I knew that was not where the future was going to be. And, you know, I had a real hard time deciding. And at some point I said, boy, you know, let's give this entrepreneurial thing a shot. I kind of like started recognizing that my personality was actually really suited for doing something like that.
So when did the light bulb moment happen? Was it right out of law school? Was it shortly after that?
I think
I always love to know when somebody had their light bulb moment, like, I'm going to do this entrepreneurial thing.
I think that the entrepreneurial bulb probably happened slowly when I was working. And as you know, as you're going through the grind and you're just like, I remember looking at this, I made pretty good salary as an attorney. And I remember looking at what I was able to afford with my salary. It was a car, nice car. And I remember hating that car because it made me a slave to that job. Mm. And that's when I'm like, you know what? I've got to break away from that.
Play with me here. We're gonna scrape away all your relationships, your relational capital, your network, your financial capital.
Boy.
All you've got is your wisdom and your brain.
Wow.
You've got a laptop with access to the internet and you've got your favorite at $500. What are you going to do? How are you going to start
over? Put it on black.
Put it on black.
No, that's a tough one. I'll tell you, I don't know exactly what I would do, but here's the process I would go through. I would first see, well, $500 isn't a lot, you know. But look, I look and see, where is there really a big customer need? What's something that's glaring that hasn't been solved? So from there, I try to figure out how would I fit in, knowing, you know, whatever experiences, I don't know anybody, but just using my wisdom, where could I find a solution where I had some sort of advantage over anybody else? Because I don't want to come in like, you know, just another person. You've got to find, I think this is true with anything you do. You've got to find something where you're going to be above, better than the competition and what you're doing. So that's what I would look for, just a great opportunity. And, you know, where can I have some sort of head start compared to other people?
I love that. It's probably one of the best, simplest, concise answers I've heard to that question. When we come back, I'm excited to pick your brain on all the wisdom that you have about business and the strategies and tactics and how to succeed in the business world. So I'm excited when we get back in a second with you, Brian. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. And joining me today is the chairman and co-founder of LegalZoom.com, Brian Liu. It's great to have you on the show today, brother. We're going to get started with the 60-second CEO, where I'm going to rapid-fire some questions at you.
Okay.
Say the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Who's your favorite entrepreneur?
Myself.
No, that's fine. Let's leave it at that. Favorite book?
Art of War.
Favorite movie?
Sound of Music.
How do you unplug?
Surf.
If you could have an extra hour in the day, how would you use it?
Sleep.
Do you prefer text or call?
Call.
If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you want to go?
Antarctica.
If you could have a superpower, what would you want it to be?
Laser eye vision.
So who's your favorite superhero?
Batman.
Interesting. What is the weirdest thing you've ever done?
Oof. Run across a freeway naked.
What keeps you up at night, Brian?
My dogs.
Your dogs. Okay. Well, how do you relax?
Surf.
And if you had one word to describe yourself, this is our last question, how would you describe yourself?
Entrepreneur.
One word to describe yourself, entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it doesn't really give me much to go off of with that one there. So let's talk about the craziest thing you've had to experience as an entrepreneur.
Ooh, the craziest thing. Okay. I am not able to go to the state of Alabama.
What?
This is not a crazy
thing. What happened?
Thing.
What did you do? Is that where you ran across the street naked?
No. As part of, you know, I think there's always challenges, always strange things that happen.
Yeah.
And somehow I was sued in the state of Alabama. You know, it's hard to create something without breaking some eggshells. And yeah. Evidently LegalZoom pissed off some people in the state of Alabama. So I was sued by the state. Wow. And my only defense is that I have never set foot in the state.
Well, hey, I got no hate on Alabama, but if you're going to get kicked out of any state, it should be Alabama.
The only thing is I really wanted to go at one point
for
to
what?
See, I would love to see a Crimson Tide game. Okay. I really would. I'd love to go to Talladega. I'm serious. I would love to go see a race there.
Let's shift gears. Let's get on track for some business stuff here. Culture. How important is it? And what are some things that you're doing in your business to create an amazing culture at LegalZoom?
It's about giving people meaning so that they know when they're working there, that it's not just about, you know, earning a salary, exactly, that they're doing something to help others, that they're doing something that's important, not just for themselves, but for, you know, just the community, and they feel good about their job.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the values that you guys align and integrate into your company culture? Because I think a lot of people don't talk about that. They don't talk about value alignment. So when they're hiring people, they're making sure that everybody coming into the organization is in alignment with the values of the company culture.
Right. Well, I think the first thing you do is when you hire people, you look for people that share those values. Mm-hmm. And that important value is the value of caring. You've got to care about people. You've got to care about, you know, the people that you're working with. And so if we always say, look, if you care, you're going to succeed at LegalZoom. And that's the most important thing.
What are some other values that you guys have? I love that one, caring. I don't think a lot of people put that in there. I think it's about, you know, growth.
Yeah.
That's caring, that's a great way to put it, though.
Because we see ourselves as a service company. Yeah. You know,
even and if you're in service, you have to care.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the great things is I read this book from the guy who started the Four Seasons Hotels. And I've always wondered, you know, what makes some hotels better than others? And when you read the reviews on TripAdvisor and everything, they always talk about the service. It's not about, very rarely people say, oh, this hotel was great because the room was spectacular, it was great. No, it's about how great and the check-in service was, about room service or whatever. It's that human touch. And so that's I think that's what we look for. People, and what they say is you hire people who already have that inside of them. You can train them on the skills.
Yeah.
No, but you can't train somebody how to be empathetic and how to care.
That's true. So on that note, how does an organization create what we'll call in this case gold star customer service? What are the keys and the traits for that?
I think, well, again,
hiring people, obviously, that already have those traits, but how do you create the environment that reconditions that on a consistent basis so there is a consistent gold star?
Absolutely. It's a little bit of everything, you know, and you've seen this, and you have to have a work environment that reinforces that, you know, the images that you use, and you do it in a way that's authentic, because I think a lot of people do this in a way that feels very much like corporate speak. Well, they have the, you know, these motivational things and, you know, like all around, or maybe they'll have, these are our principles, and they'll put it on every desk, and it just feels very corporate speak, and you've got to do it in a way that really shows that that's who you are and that you care. So authenticity, even in a corporate environment, is, you know, incredibly important.
I definitely agree and align with that completely. In all of our organizations, we try to implement something similar to that. Let's talk about something that I think a lot of companies struggle with. As a consultant, when I go into most businesses, the fastest way amongst a list of things that I do to grow the organization is really pinpoint in what makes them different in, in the industry. So how do you guys differentiate yourself and what makes you unique at LegalZoom?
I think what makes us unique is that when we started, we were one of the first to really think, how can we use technology? How can we make this system a lot more efficient? Because most lawyers, traditionally, because of the way the structure is done, where you're paid hourly, you have no incentive to really become more efficient. Mm-hmm. You know, always lawyers are saying, hey, we're here to help the clients. And we're really trying to give the best service. But what happens is, in your own head, people rationalize, like, giving the best service means spending the most time, which means charging more money. And, you know, and then they justify it by saying, but that's okay, because I'm really, you know, doing everything I can to make sure everything is 1,000% perfect. And we're like, wait a second. If really what we're trying to do is just, you know, get the result, help people as best they can, It's the system, it's the structure that is wrong in terms of, let's align all the incentives so that everybody is incentivized and aligned to really do something and create something for the customer, a better customer experience, so that we can achieve that goal.
I love that. And do you feel like you guys have accomplished that at LegalZoom?
I think we have. We're still a long ways to go in terms of, you know, but we've definitely made strides.
Let's talk about guarantees and what I'll call risk reversal in just a second. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining me is Brian Liu, the chairman and co-founder of LegalZoom. Everybody knows what LegalZoom is, so I don't even need to give a background on it. I'm using LegalZoom. You're the founder of it. I think everybody at some point has heard of it or is probably using it in their business. But guarantees and risk reversal, how important is it? And what are you guys doing in your business to mitigate the risk on your customers and clients when they choose to invest in you guys?
Well, I think it is really important to have, you know, guarantees in general. And it's tough because when we started, for example, the most often cited reason why people wouldn't consider LegalZoom is that they didn't know who we are, and they didn't know that, you know, are these documents really going to work? Can I go online and get this type of legal stuff without, you know,
sitting down with a lawyer face to face?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So
I thought that as well when I was first investing in LegalZoom.
Exactly.
I was like, is this legit? I'm just going back and forth on email and phone calls.
Right.
I got to give them all my important information.
Right. So one of the things we recognized, Brian Lee and I, and Eddie Hartman, one of our co-founders, when we started, we needed some sort of symbol of legitimacy. And Robert Shapiro, I think, offered that type of legitimacy.
So for people who don't know who he is, what is he? What does he do? Who is he?
I hope maybe you saw him on the TV show. He's a really famous attorney. He's a criminal defense attorney, but he does a lot more right now. And he represents, you know, celebrities and other just normal people as well. But he's a very well-known attorney and famous for being the OJ attorney. So pretty much everybody knew him.
So you guys were able to land him, mm-hmm. and he obviously helped you guys get the competitive advantage. Going back to the original question of how do you differentiate yourself in the marketplace, what are some practical tips that people can benefit from? Because I think that was one that you guys capitalized on, was attaching your brand
Absolutely.
To a credible individual who had a personal brand and a reputation,
yeah.
which allowed you guys to be credible by association. And so a credible by association is one way that you can get
right.
a unique differentiation right. in the marketplace. But do you have some other things people can do?
I always think that whatever you do, you need, you know, there's two things. One, you need some sort of unfair advantage. If you can find an unfair advantage somewhere.
I love that, the unfair advantage.
Yeah, absolutely, take it. You know, there's no reason in saying, there's nothing about, you know, great about being the guy to break through a brick wall. If you can get around it somehow, do it.
Yeah, I love that.
The second thing is, even if you don't have something that's incredibly unfair, just have a clear idea of what you are and have something that's memorable in the marketplace so that you stand out in some way in the marketplace. So whatever it is, I mean, here's my favorite example of this. Okay, there's no unfair advantage to this one. I don't know if you know, like we're in Los Angeles here, which is the most famous plumber in Los Angeles.
Who's the most famous plumber?
I hear these ads all the time and it sticks in me.
Okay.
The Smell Good Plumber.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing. I've never even heard of it.
And they run ads all the time. And I mean, I think they must be successful.
So that's the differentiator. They
well,
smell
because
good.
They have taken a position in the consumer's mind space so that when they're not just any plumber, they're, you know, I think it's called Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber. And they got this little ringtone. Do you mean?
They got you. They're stuck in your head.
And absolutely, absolutely, because it does so much. I mean, what's unfair? Well, it's like, well, everybody else smells bad. Mm. And they're
presuming it through their name.
Right. Exactly. And so they've occupied this space, which I think is really incredible. They've done something descriptive. They've set themselves apart in a way, you know, that's so different from the competition. Yet, yeah. you know, it's just kind of a little bit of marketing and just thinking, how can I be different from the competition?
Simple, powerful advice. Brian Liu, the chairman of LegalZoom. I appreciate you for coming on the show, brother. It's been a blast.
Thanks.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Office distractions can kill production. Here's a few tips to fight off those workplace interruptions. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, turn off the white noise. What you think is white noise from the TV or radio could be a bigger distraction than you realize. Number two, clean up. Make sure your office or desk is orderly and comfortable so you are in the optimal space to be productive. Number three, take it one step at a time. If you feel yourself getting pulled in different directions, just stop and focus on one task until it's completed. Number four, take a break. Go through your to-do list and prioritize and ask yourself, does this really need to get done today or can I do it tomorrow? For the Business Rockstars podcast, go to play.it. I'm Alex Worley and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. That can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
One of the big advantages to 3D printing is the ability to create something without having to mass produce it. And that's important to companies that do a lot of research and development. NanoDimension makes 3D printers, and their Dragonfly Pro system even allows 3D printing of electronics. Amit Dror is the CEO.
Like every new technology, the stages before you go to mass production go through a smaller scale production. The initial activity, what most of our customers are currently using the Dragonfly Pro system for, has a lot to do with development and prototyping. One of the main sectors of customers we're working with are the U.S. Armed Forces. Being able to maintain the confidentiality of those electronic designs is very important.
More on NanoDimension is at nano-di.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
How do you build your network to grow your net worth? Joining us to elaborate on that is Harmony Krieger. She's the founder of Pop Your Shop. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Harmony, how do we effectively network? What's the keys?
Network is my
favorite
topic in life, besides passion. You have to be passionate to build to network. That is all encompassing. So it is my favorite topic because I think that business grows because of who you connect with. Mm. So I am the master at networking. I know exactly
so
what to do.
You,
I really do. It's my favorite topic. I tell everybody that I come across brand-wise, have to network. You have to find out who that customer is. You have to connect, and you will get that customer, and then you will get 500 more because of that. Yeah. So if I'm going to an event, I'm going to find out who is running the event. I'm going to find out who is at the event and what they do. And I do it in a very organic way. It's not a sales pitch. The worst mistake you can make when you network is to sound like a salesman. Nobody wants to talk to a car salesman, right? Yeah. Unless you're going to buy a car.
People hate to be sold, they love to buy. So there's an elegance.
I love it. There's such an elegance. And there is one word that defines that elegance, which is organic.
Organic.
Be organic. Be yourself. I love talking to people. I love finding out what they're doing. Mm. It inspires me to do better. So when I go to an event, I find out, who's going to be at that event. I walk in, I make my way across the room. It's kind of like finding a boyfriend, which right now I probably need one. you find out what they do. You start the conversation. You say, oh, wow, you find a commonality. Mm. What is that commonality? It can be completely different sectors, but you always relate it back to something that you have in common.
Because that's the first step for networking 101, right?
100%.
Build rapport. And the fastest way to do that is to find a commonality.
Build that rapport. What is that commonality? It's like a first date.
Yeah.
You're not having a good time, but what can you talk about? It's like you find that one thing that is your sweet spot, as I like to say. So what is your sweet spot? So, maybe it is somebody starting a brand new beauty line and, oh, I love watching makeup tutorials on YouTube. What is this new line that's coming out? When is it coming out? And then guess what? They might need a pop-up shot for it. And this is how you network.
Okay.
I always, I it's funny. I carry cards, but at the end of the day, I think I store all the information in my head. Get somebody's card. Get somebody's information, whether you put it in your phone.
Just take a picture of it nowadays, right?
Picture of it nowadays, exactly. Or even, you know, email yourself. What does that person do? Because I guarantee you, when you get home from an event like that, you will have 10 to 20 names that you can reach out to. And this is how it starts to grow. Every event I've ever went to, I have to say, I think I've gotten a piece of business out of. Because somebody is just, oh, wow, that's what you do.
You're hustling on it. That's what
you're
doing.
You're hustling. But you know what? It's so organic because guess what? You're passionate about your business. They ask me what I do. I say, I build pop-up shops. What's your brand? And they said, oh, wow, I was thinking about doing a pop-up. I don't know how to do it. Or I don't know if I have the budget. And I say, you know what, let's just go out for a drink or let's have a coffee. Let's connect and throw around some ideas. That's the other key. I always ask them to go and meet in person. I never just send them information. They see information all day long, decks, whatever it may be. Always ask them for an in-person meeting. If they say no, that's fine, but you have asked. So you've asked for the connection.
So the first key is finding a commonality is what I've heard from you. So building the connection and building the rapport first comes down to your ability to ask questions and align with the person to build a connection and to build a rapport.
Exactly.
So you can find that commonality. We're joined by the founder of Pop Your Shop, Harmony Krieger. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and we're talking about networking right now. I love that. The first step in the networking process is building rapport and finding a commonality because people buy from their friends.
Absolutely.
And so the first key is to figure out how you can actually become a friend with the person.
Yes.
I think that I try to make a distinction for people when it comes to networking.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been taught that networking is go out and meet people that you can effectively get something from.
Right.
But I look at it in a different way. I think that you look at relationships as bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went up to a bank account you've never made a deposit in and asked for a withdrawal, they would look at you crazy and security would come and kick you out.
I love that.
And so look at relationships as bank accounts. If you've never added value,
mm-hmm.
you've never made a deposit, then you can't take something from somebody.
Absolutely.
And so when you're networking, flip it.
Flip it.
Look at the people that are the most intelligent investment mm-hmm. of your time, your energy, your money. So I look at somebody at a networking event and I'm only looking for one or two or three people maximum.
Right.
I throw all the other business cards away. I'm finding the one or two or three people at an event. Everyone else, I'm asking if they've met the person that's the one or two or three that I'm looking for.
Right.
So everyone else is not there for anything else than to help me find my one or two or three people at the event I'm looking for.
I love that.
I find those one or two or three people and then I figure out what I can do to serve them.
Absolutely.
What can I do to make a connection for them? How can I add the most value to them and make a deposit so that later I know strategically this individual in 6 months or 12 months or 2 years or 3 years is someone I can take a deposit from.
Exactly. And so that is how you grow your network.
That's how you do it, right?
I mean, every entrepreneur will say that. Your network is your net worth. I mean, think about it. If you're selling a home, same thing. You're tapping into, you know, resources that are actually already there. So every friend of mine asks, where do you go get your hair done? You know, where do you get your eyelashes done? Okay, now I just told you, like, I do all these beauty things. But regardless, they're asking for my advice because I feel that I'm really going to give them the best answer possible.
Yeah.
And I'm referring them to someone that I trust. It's all about that trusting relationship.
Yeah.
So in business, when you are going to these networking events, I'm not going to talk to 75 people. It's not a speed dating event.
People make that mistake.
They'll just speed date. And you know what I've seen? Another huge mistake. Someone will just go around to every single person.
Just get their cards.
And get their cards and say the same exact thing. So what do you do? Oh, great. Take their card. Okay, great. I would love to call you tomorrow.
Yeah.
No one's going to call you tomorrow. You know, you really do need to connect with the ones that make sense. But the only way to do that is to really weed them out.
Mm.
And you're not going to probably do that till you go home. Look up. LinkedIn is one of the best tools that there is in the sense of, are they valid?
It's like your vetting process,
right? Are they
telling
you what they're really doing? Because guess what? A lot of people will say they're doing something and not really be doing it.
That's true.
So you really need to find those people to align with. It's so important. Like you just said, you're going to find those three people.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to end it. Harmony, always a pleasure. You're amazing.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.